Hello, and welcome to Landward, Readings of Place and Season. I'm Catherine Young. I live, farm, and write in Richland County in the Driftless area of Wisconsin. I love reading interesting and rich writing about place. And though I live in the water-rich area of the Upper Midwest, I'm fascinated with descriptions of desert places. An especially good example is this chapter from Jonathan T. Bailey's memoir, When I Was Red Clay, written about the Mustn't Touch It Badlands in Utah. It begins this way. When I was a child, I searched for bones, scouring hillsides for orbs of white so distinctive and revealing. Today the raven is one of my treasures, a few feathers tasseling from his taut beak, segments of wing remaining, outstretched as if to feel the source of thermals he once so proudly maneuvered. His body, more barren than the rest, looks like an assortment of goodies he would collect if given the opportunity. He snapped through the park's garbage a month earlier, after which he lined his merchandise on the bench, prioritizing only the best to carry home. His bones are now jumbled with bits of windblown ribbon and tin, an irony I hope he would have appreciated. I cherished bones as they had topography of their own, bleached white, gritty to the touch like sandpaper, shaped into basins and gorges by the ebb and flow of osseous matter. Of special salience were the sutures, structures that allow the skulls of young'uns to grow and develop, flowing unimpeded like tiny rivers you could raft beneath the tips of your fingers. It was an early lesson in scale, as I found landscapes that could vanish under the cover of my thumb. As charming as the bones may be, I never took my discoveries home. They were not mine to take. They belonged to the wind as it swept through the long valleys of Pinon. They belonged to the composition and the earth. They belonged to many things, but they did not belong to me. When I hiked into the deserts, I experienced the flesh and blood of wilderness, but not its bones. Everything was layered with soil and vegetative matter, or covered with almost too much rock. Even prominent canyons of the San Rafael Swell consisted of deep green rivers of ponderosa and sage. I cherished these spaces, of course, but I was also disappointed. There must be something beneath. Something I was missing, an omission to the visible desert. And then I found the Mustn't Touch It Badlands. As its name suggests, the Mustn't Touch It Badlands hides a deeper understanding, knowing you simply mustn't touch. But I also wasn't one for following rules. These badlands border on the indescribable, more apocalyptic than you might expect, soaked with blood-red clays and volcanic intrusions, tattered beneath igneous rock, rounded and polished like oversized cannonballs. In some cases, sandstone is heaved upwards by two-story-high walls of grayish volcanic intrusions. Giant fins dissect much of the region, some no wider than a kitchen tile but spread outward for hundreds of feet. These features are known as volcanic dikes, formed when ancient magma settles into cracks and crevices, solidified and emerged with a softer surrounding rocks eroded, leaving thin fins rock, reminiscent of semi-submerged sea monsters. The longer I spent in the Badlands, the more I learned about the desert. Despite its desolate appearance, plants still eke out a living, surviving drifting sands through deep underground rhizomes, features that can produce the shoots and root systems of new plants. Colorado feverfew survived by staying close to the ground on wind-eroded surfaces, occupying mats speckled with white flowers not much larger than a pen tip. In these spaces, I remembered that survival sometimes depended on sheltering down, spreading outward, surviving through desert-like rhizome shoots. The Mustn't Touch It Badlands is a hard-won space, one without showing canyons of red rock that attract people by the thousands. But those majestic symbols of the West provide just one way of knowing the desert. Solitude is another. So when development came knocking at the Badlands' door, I pushed back, much to the chagrin of some conservationists who felt the Badlands should be sacrificed to oil and gas in the service of future proposals preserving other lands. Aaron and I spent weeks backpacking through the region in protest, slithering through slot canyons and open plains, towing notebooks and gear to testify to its vast emptiness. We discovered that, much like the Raven's Bones, its barrenness was superficial, nested within landscapes of ribbon and vertebra, perhaps a hint of its beating heart. In its blazoned chest were carpets of agate, hypnotically saturated hillsides, blackened marbles propped on the whitest of pedestals, and sandscapes that poured against deep crimson spires worn smooth like sand castles. Near to these features, in a seldom visited corner of Capitol Reef National Park, are the names of places of heart-aching poetry. Temple of the Sun, Temple of the Moon, and Glass Mountain, a dome of glittering earth, a frontispiece like two Gothic temples looming hundreds of feet skyward. Beyond, the cliffs are blood red, joined by arroyo arteries and a liver of buff red Entrada sandstone that detoxifies even the most stubborn spirits. We saw the truth beneath the flesh. We compiled the documents of our data and argued for the region's archaeological, biological, geological, and paleontological treasures, in addition to essential and endangered resources like silence and solitude. We presented our findings to the Bureau of Land Management and argued that the area should be spared from extraction. The BLM heard our pleas, and the leases were deferred, at least for the time being. Without formal protections, they can come back in a few years, in five, in a decade, who knows? But like the fragile bodies of wandering desert creatures, the wilderness is reliant on a framework of protection. I need the plants, the animals, the alluring red rock canyons, but I also need the bones, spaces of sere nothingness where so few raise their voice in support. You have been listening to The Mustn't Touch at Badlands from When I Was Red Clay by Jonathan T. Bailey, published by Torrey House Press in 2022. This is Catherine Young for Landward. Thanks for listening. Podcasts of this reading will be available at wdrt.org.